Hello and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Stories Circle. It's so nice to see all of your faces here. Welcome to Peace On, your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance at peacealliance.org. And we're so delighted to see everyone here. My name is Terry Mason. I am on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined by Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is also on the board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools Council Lead, to help facilitate this call today. And our special guest is Mike Robbins. And Mike is an author and a speaker and a peace activist, and I've known him for many years. We all have at the Peace Alliance, as he was active in our activities long ago when we first started off lobbying in DC on an annual basis with our big conferences. So Mike, if you want to unmute yourself, you already have. Good for you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to see you. Before we get started, I know we talked about this the last time you were on the call. You have a professional history as a professional baseball player.
Yes.
And I wonder if you could just tell us one important key memory about that experience for you?
Oh gosh. I grew up in Oakland in the Bay Area. I still live in the Bay Area. And I think the moment that just popped into my head. So when I was in high school at Skyline High School in Oakland, I got drafted by the New York Yankees. And I didn't end up signing a contract with the Yankees because I went to Stanford and played baseball there. But the day that I got drafted, I got the call when I was in my American government class, and I had to rush up to the office. And it was weird because the way my teacher answered the phone, Mike Robbins, you have to go to the office right away. I thought something bad had happened, and it turned out that it was the Yankees on the phone. But when I walked into the office, the secretary was crying. And so then I really was concerned something bad had happened, but she was just really moved and excited that it happened. So,
wow.
That was kind of a fun day.
Seriously. What a choice. Drafted by the Yankees, go to Stanford.
Yeah.
Big choices.
Yes.
Tender age. Wow. Well, it's great to have you here. We're excited to have you here to tell your story. And you were here with us in September, the day after Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. So we quickly pivoted from our planned story to acknowledging that reality, and we changed our tactic. So we're delighted to have you back so you can tell the story we first thought you would tell, because it's a good story to tell. But before we get started, let's have Yelena lead us in a meditation to bring us all in together.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening for some of you, and for everybody that is listening on the podcast. So let's just take a moment to center ourselves, whatever that looks like for you. So if you are seated, or if you might you want to stand or lay down, whatever feels like a position that you can just let go a little bit. Let's pause and connect with earth, with ourselves, and with this moment. As Mike has this book, we are all in this together. Just reminded me in this moment that we are all in this moment together. Pausing together. And taking a moment to check in. Check in with our body. Check in with the earth. Check in with a breath. Just allowing yourself to really warmly welcome anything that is present for you at this moment. Inviting just a sense of ease, with each breath, there is nowhere you need to be right now, nowhere to go, no one to be, just here. Listening to this moment, feeling awe. Allowing ourselves moments like this where we listen to silence, quiet enough to hear what is present in it. Perhaps taking a few more breaths that feel nourishing to you. And when you're ready, allowing your body to move and to come into this moment, to come to hear Mike's story today. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Yelena. That was great. It's nice to be here with all of you once again. I was here back in late September, I think it was, right, Terry? Well, a couple of things. I mean, sort of to build on what Terry and I were chatting about as she was introducing me, you know, I played baseball all those years and, you know, did go to Stanford and played baseball there and got drafted actually out of Stanford by the Kansas City Royals, which is another one of our pro baseball teams here in the US. And I did sign a contract at that time, even though I didn't sign with the Yankees out of high school. And I played professional baseball for a couple of years, 3 years before I got injured. I was a pitcher and I tore ligaments in my elbow. But something interesting started to emerge for me when I was in college. And then especially once I got into the minor leagues and was playing professional baseball, is I would find myself in these small towns in the US wake up early in the morning and I'd be sort of wandering around and I'd end up in bookstores. In those days, there were either independent bookstores or Borders or Barnes and Nobles, and would just sort of wander into the personal growth, spiritual self-help section of the bookstore. Because I was interested in a lot of these topics at an early age, even though a lot of my friends and teammates weren't. But I had this funny little voice in my head that was there that I couldn't quite figure out where it was coming from, that just kept saying, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this. And I'm like, do what? What does that mean? Like, write books like that? Like, it didn't make sense to me, although it was something. And I remember thinking, like, who are these people on these bookshelves and where do they come from and how do they... Right. And I would, and whether it was our friend, our co-founder of the Peace Alliance, Marianne Williamson, or Wayne Dyer, or Deepak Chopra, or people that whose books I would be drawn to, there was something there. But saying to me at that time, at, 23 years old, as a, professional baseball player, that I was destined to write books and speak was, you might as well have said I was supposed to be an astronaut or a brain surgeon or something. I mean, it was that sort of out of my realm. I mean, anyway, my career ends abruptly in baseball. I have a series of surgeries. I move home in the late 90s to the Bay Area where I still live. I got a job working in the tech world, but that voice became louder and more pronounced. And it was more practically speaking, like I wanted to figure out how do I heal from this traumatic experience in my life, that my life had changed dramatically. And so I really got very interested in my personal and spiritual growth, more just from my own healing standpoint and dealing with other things going on in my life and trying to make sense of myself and who am I and what I'm going to do and all of these things. And after a couple of years in the tech world, I ended up getting laid off when the dot-com bubble burst. And that voice had become louder, that there was something really kind of percolating in me that was telling me you're supposed to help people and teach people and inspire people. And I didn't know exactly what that meant or what it would look like or how it would manifest itself. But I did start a business 20 years ago. Actually, the end of this year will be the 20th year of my business. I started coaching and I started speaking and I wanted to start writing. And my first book was published in 2007. And for the last 20 years, what I've been doing is writing and speaking and coaching, which again, I think back to that young man, that, early 20s, me walking into those bookstores, there was something there. But interestingly enough about my work, I love to speak. And one of the hardest parts for the pandemic for me has just been not being out in the world around other humans. And as much as I do love Zoom and I'm grateful for this technology, I would rather us all be sitting in the same room together right now, connecting with each other in person. But I don't actually love to write. And I've written and published 5 books, which still blows my mind, as I'm sure any English teacher that I had growing up, where I was the procrastinator who never wrote and would wait till the absolute last minute. I learned to read a little late. I always found it challenging to both read and even write, like speaking and talking was, but that's just a little bit about. So when I got done with my 4th book, which came out in 2018, it's called Bring Your Whole Self to Work. I was done. And based on the feedback from my team and my family and everyone around me, it's like, I'm not going to write another book for a while because it's a big process. I mean, I'm grateful to do it, but it's a lot. And the book came out in May of 2018. And Michelle, my wife and I were up in Calistoga, which is in Napa County, not about an hour from where we live. And that's actually where I go to write. But we were up there celebrating our anniversary in June, about a month after the book had come out. And she was getting a massage and I was in the hot springs in Calistoga. And I got this really, really loud download that I could not ignore that said, you're supposed to write another book. You need to get started on it now. It needs to come out in 2020. And it's called We're All in This Together. And I'm like sitting there going, okay, who are you talking to? Leave me alone. I'm not writing another book. I just finished writing a book. I don't want to write a book for like 4 or 5 more years. Leave me alone. And it would not leave me alone. And it kept coming. And for the next few days and few weeks, it was like, if you'd seen me walking around, you would have thought I was a crazy person talking to whoever, just stop, leave me alone, go find someone else. I'm not writing another book. I'm not doing it now. Leave me alone. But it wouldn't leave me alone. And so I finally just sat down and kind of wrote out some thoughts. And then had a conversation with Michelle, my wife, and said, I'm supposed to write another book. It's supposed to come out in 2020. It's called We're All in This Together. And she's like, you're not writing another book. You're not putting me and the family through that again. Please, no. And I know, but it kept coming. And after a series of conversations, she finally, okay, let's see if there's any interest. I talked to my agent. I talked to my publisher. They're interested in the book and they like the idea, because a lot of the work that I do is in the business world around leadership and teamwork and collaboration. And they were all into the book, but nobody liked the title of the book. They said, oh, it's a little too squishy. It's a little too fuzzy. It does, what does that mean? And I was like adamant, no, it has to be called We're All in This Together. Like that, to me, through all the division over the last few years, like that phrase kept coming up, and I would write that down. I would write blog posts about it and do podcasts about it. Just kept coming as like, who's the them? Isn't it all us? And like, not just with teams and with groups, but just in our country and in our world. And I even said to my agent and to my publisher, I said, look, if we can't have this as a title, I never said anything like this in my life before. If it's not the title, We're All in This Together, I'm not writing the book. And they were like, okay, fine. If you're really that attached to the title, go for it. So I wrote the book in 2019. I finished it at the end of 2019. And it was scheduled to come out in the spring of this year. Not with no idea that it would gonna that we were gonna come into this pandemic and everything. And as the book was scheduled to release, especially back in March, when really here in the US and in other places in the world, it became abundantly clear a bit of what we were facing. And the phrase, we're all in this together, we're all in this together, we're all in this together, just, I mean, literally everyone from Anderson Cooper to Donald Trump to like every business leader, I was getting emails from CEOs of companies. The subject line of the email was, we're all in this together. I would get texts from friends and they're like, so-and-so just said your book title. And it was like, oh my goodness. And a big part of the inspiration for me, even with my resistance to it, was wanting to be in whatever active way I could be with my work and my platform in a conversation of where is there common ground for us as human beings. And one of the interesting paradoxes of this time, and it became clear to me within a month or two into the pandemic, people were saying, wait a second, are we really all in this together? It really seems like this is brought us together in some ways, but also separated us and shone a light on the ways that things are not equal and not fair. And the phrase or the concept that sort of came to me from that was, well, we're all in the same storm, but we're in different boats. And I think as I circle that back around, and Terry, thinking about you and Judy and my journey, mine and Michelle's journey with our connection to the Peace Alliance, what drew us to, in those days, it was, you know, Marianne's organization, the Global Renaissance Alliance, that ultimately evolved into the Peace Alliance, was Michelle and I, like many people, were out marching in 2003 down Market Street in San Francisco, protesting against the Iraq War. And after our third or fourth protest, I looked at Michelle and I said, look, I don't want us to go to war. I think this is the wrong decision. But I don't want to go to any more of these protests because they don't feel peaceful to me. They feel violent energetically. It feels like there's so much anger. And I understand I'm angry too, but I want to focus on what we want, which is what? Peace. And it was literally like the next week that Michelle said to me, I just read something that Marianne Williamson wrote in this email about this organization and this conference, and I'm going to go to DC and go to this conference. And we were broke at the time. Like, I said, babe, it sounds like a great idea, but you ain't going to DC. Like, that doesn't sound like a good idea. We can't afford it. And some way or somehow, or we were scraped it together to get my then girlfriend, now wife, on an airplane to fly to Washington, DC to go to that conference and to lobby. And she came home with a whole new relationship to what it really meant to be a conscious citizen, as Marianne has taught us. And to me, it was a lot at that time about, again, so many moments in my life, listening to that inner voice or that inner wisdom, even when it doesn't make sense practically, right? Michelle, we can't afford for you to go to DC, but she goes anyway. Hey, why am I in this self-help section of the bookstore looking at these books when I'm 23 years old saying I'm supposed to do this? Hey, why am I getting this download from somewhere that says you're supposed to write a book called We're All in This Together, even though I don't really feel like it and I don't really want to, and it doesn't make practical sense? And again, all of us have our own different stories and our own different lives, and we've all been through so much over the last 9 months. And especially, I think, when we get scared and when it's hard, it's challenging to listen to that voice. But it's so important, and especially right now, and given the work that we're all here to do in terms of really building peace within ourselves, within our families, within our communities, within the world at large, a lot of times it's that still small voice within us that is really important for us to listen to, and not all the other nonsense that's in our head or what we hear on the news or the conversations around us. So I think I will pause at this moment, because I think there's some good inquiry for us to get into around some of these ideas and how we really listen to that voice, especially given where we are right now in our country and our world, and where we need to get to and go together.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mike. Terrific story. Yelena, do you want to frame the inquiry for us?
Sure. Thank you so much, Mike. So when you were talking, there's so many of these forces, right, outside of ourselves that tell us the way to be, who we are, what we are supposed to be doing in this world, how we're supposed to engage. And it just reminded me to what are some of the ways that you listen to your own inner wisdom? What are some practices? How do you do that? Right? Do you need to retreat? Do you need to pause? Do you need to, really, the inquiry is to sit a little bit with it, is how do you know it is your inner voice that is talking to you and not the external forces? How many times do you need to hear it before you recognize it is actually coming from you? So that's something that, I know we talked about, and it's clearly from your story that is coming up for me. So that might be the inquiry. And thank you, Terry, for typing all of that in the chat. You're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So as we go into the breakout rooms, maybe allow for a moment to really inquire within first. So as you come into the room, just kind of allow that moment of pause to inquire within, and then share what is coming for you. And just if you are poised to listen, do that. If you don't want to share, just listen, give that gift and say just enough and speak from your own inner story and listen fully to the stories that others are sharing. So that's, thank you, Terry. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to pause the recording and we're going into breakout rooms, and then I'll start it again when we come back together. All right, welcome back, everyone. It's nice to see you all. Who would like to share what's alive for you after being in the breakout rooms? You can unmute yourself or raise your hand. I'll try to see. I think you have to unmute yourself. Go ahead, Judy.
I just want to tail on. I had the most amazing group. And thank you to the members. I wish they would each, I felt like I just got a college education in 15 minutes. With regard to everything from family constellation work to the big five F's I would love to encourage the members of my group to share some of that wisdom and the wisdom that Lewis, our 97-year-old participant, shared by just being with us. It was really great. So thank you to my group. It was wonderful. And it just happened that four people that I haven't never been on with, which is pretty amazing considering I've been on almost all of these. So anyway, thank you.
Terrific. Thanks, Judy. Mm-hmm. Who else would like to share? Okay, Lois.
Yes, thank you. I also was in a group with people that I hadn't been in conversation with before. And the thing that I'm feeling the most is how we were able to connect and express, you know, compassion for each other. And I just, I know that some people say that, you know, connecting via Zoom isn't the same as being real, alive, and in person. And it's not, but I do feel that, you know, the essence of emotion can come through and can touch others. And I'm very grateful for that during this time in our lives.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Bonnie, you're raising your hand.
Yes, I am. Thank you. First of all, I had a fabulous group also, it was a group of people that were all having our ways of hearing that voice and responding to it, whether it's from unconditional love or from various other ways. It was really beautiful to hear. But Mike, I have a major question for you. I am seeing behind you a sign, and all I keep seeing is right now with a question mark, and I realize there are words above it. What is it saying?
I appreciate it. It says, what do you appreciate in your life right now?
Thank you.
Yes.
That's great. Meg, you're raising your hand.
Yes, great to be with you all. And this is my first time, and I was delighted to be with Angie. I think it was just the two of us in the room. So I'd like Angie to speak up too. But in regards to the question, I mentioned that if other people are telling me the same thing, it's probably not just my internal voice. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say hi to Mike from Oakland, just down the hill from Skyline. And my husband, Stanford, and is an avid baseball player. So he's going to be delighted that, my goodness, I got to hear and talk to Mike.
Nice. Thanks, Meg.
Wonderful. Anna.
Yeah, thank you. I was thrilled to hear the metaphor of your sharing, Mike, when you talked about, even though we're all in this together, we're all in separate boats. And as Liz knows, I have a theme song for every week that we're together, and it's, and this week it's row, 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 row your boat, and we're all rowing upstream. And so I was thrilled to be with Kate from California as well. Yay, California, all of the things you're doing to row upstream and keep those salmon spawning and the fires put out. But Yelena, it was your birthday this week too. And I was blessed to be with Judy and Nancy Merritt and a variety of folks during the action call that we had on behalf of the Peace Alliance. And what I shared with Kate the Great out there about how we can be rowing together, even though we're in separate boats, is to continue to have these living room conversations. So I don't know, Terry, if you have access to this, or I forwarded Dan's action call to Kate, but I think it would be of benefit at the end if it's premature, then just connect people to these action calls. Because as we get older, we do get better. And again, congratulations, Yelena. I hope you had a good birthday week, and let's keep on rowing. Blessings, Dan.
Thank you, Anna. Mm-hmm. I see David has his hands up, and I think also Chris, you would want, or sort of physically raising your hand. Did I see that or not?
Yeah. It was just an amazing sharing in the group. And what I wanted to share was the importance of the children, how the children really need us to step up right now. And just if anyone is interested, you know, the trauma of our ancestors really lives in our blood. It lives in our cells. So those that had to leave or were forced to leave and never saw their family again, the pain there meets in us in the present moment. So when things feel so life or death, and you're sitting safely in your living room, you know, you're tapping into that. And the collective energies are right there, really close to our individual ones. So it's enormously intense. Know that it's not all yours. And there's ways to disentangle. So if you react to something and you feel it and you feel like it's more than yours, you can say, I feel the grief. Grief has a place, but I can't hold your grief in my grief. Mm-hmm. And that witnessing and allowing your, let yourself cry. You know, that act of letting your heart break open means that we're not passing it down to our children. So thank you.
That's a good point.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Chris. David?
Yeah, I like that comment about breaking the cycle. That seems to be our primary responsibility. In our group, we arrived at how important it is to be a listener for someone else, to provide a safe space that's non-judgmental, and that when that happens, the person speaking and is sharing something, maybe something they never shared with anyone before, enters a healing process, but it's not just healing for the person who's speaking, it's healing for the person who's doing the listening as well. So it's like, it's something we all need to do, practice.
Huh. Wonderful. Anybody else like to share?
Necessarily a share about our group today, but I noticed that there was a question in the chat that was unanswered, and I just thought I'd bring it up to see if Mike wanted to answer it.
It's actually interesting that Mindy actually ended up popping out of her breakout room and then back into the room that I was in, and she and I had a chance to chat about that briefly, but I mean, essentially what I was saying to her in response to the question about pro sports or baseball is, like a lot of things in life, I think there's both a light side and a dark side to things. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, how we individually sort of engage with any activity, but also, you know, what it means and what it does in the culture. And I would say, for what it's worth, I've been incredibly inspired this year in particular by the level of engagement from a lot of pro athletes across a lot of sports, particularly basketball and football, but others in the women in the WNBA, and just so many using those platforms to shine light on a lot of aspects of our culture, at least here in America, that need to change. So given how much attention and compensation pro athletes have these days, it's a really beautiful thing to see them utilizing their platform in that way. So those are some of my thoughts about that.
Thank you, Mike. Well, they're going to start to wrap it up. I'm putting several links in the chat. The Bees Alliance is an organization. We welcome your participation in these Hope Story Circles and beyond. The Bees Alliance empowers civic action for a culture of peace. And we are found at peacealliance.org. Our podcasts can be found there, Peace On. You can also see an initiative. We have a relatively new initiative to condemn election violence. If you sign that initiative, it will automatically go to all of your elected officials. We also have a new initiative it's been going for nearly a year now, the Blueprint for Peace. And it's about making peace and nonviolence an effective organizing principle in federal, state, and local government policy. You can sign that petition as well. Both of those petitions are on the homepage of our website at peacealliance.org, but the links are here in the chat. We are a nonprofit. We appreciate donations of any size. We especially would love if you would become a peace partner, which is our monthly donor status, and just in any small amount, but a monthly donor gives us sustainable income. We really would appreciate that. Also, our calendar of events, the Hope Story Circles are there. Also, our national monthly call that Anna spoke about earlier, and our monthly Department of Peacebuilding call, which is this coming week on Wednesday. Open to anyone who's interested. So you can check out the calendar for all that information. To let you know, we are having our Hope Story Circle again next Saturday. It's the last Saturday of the year. We're not going to have it through the holidays. And starting in January, we're going to begin having our Hope Story Circles on the second and fourth Saturday of every month. And I will be starting a different Zoom connection in 2021. So note that you will get it in the email that gets sent out. It will also be on the calendar. It will be a different Zoom connection, so we start fresh and don't have any kind of leftover stuff going on. So thank you very much for being here today. And Mike, do you have any closing words before Liz wraps it up for us?
No, just thank you for inviting me back. I appreciate being here in this community and all the ways it has supported me in my life and my journey and Michelle's over the years. So thanks for everything you're all doing in your lives personally and what the Peace Alliance is doing collectively. It's super important, especially right now.
Thank you. Liz, you want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, I do. Mike, what really came up for me was when you said, how do I heal from this traumatic experience in my life, right? When this life you thought we're going to have, you had to shift. And it led you to ponder on so many things. And it took me back to a moment from about 2 years ago when I had what we all call those aha moments. I had read a quote by the philosopher Buckminster Fuller on Facebook. And I realized I wanted my two teenage sons to read one of his books. And I was going to a New Year's Eve party that night with some friends who I've known forever. And I said, Amazon was not fast enough for me to order a book. And the friend whose home we were attending has a lot of books. And I thought he might have Buckminster Fuller. So I asked him and he said, no. But one of the other gentlemen at the party said, I have a great story about Buckminster Fuller. And I said, really? He said, yes. He said, in the 70s, when I was at university, he came to speak. And we were all excited and we got in the room and he started speaking and he spoke for 4 hours. And we were all bored and we were like, he was telling us about science and things we know. And if he hadn't been Buckminster Fuller, we probably would have all walked out of the room. And he said, but at one point when he hit the 4 hour mark, he started putting everything together in a way that sent chills up my spine. And in 15 minutes, he encapsulated all this stuff that was huge and mind blowing and mind changing. So I said to him, was that 15 minutes worth the 4 hours? He said, oh my goodness, yes. And I had the aha moment I had was, you know, Andy Warhol once said, in the future, everyone will have 15 minutes of fame. And I thought, what if everyone has 15 minutes of wisdom? And it takes all of our life experience to put together that thing we have to say. And I said, that's kind of a TED Talk. Right? That's kind of the wisdom behind the TED Talk. And when you asked your question to go into the breakout rooms and we're like, what is it that you know? What is that inner voice, that thing you have to say? And what I invite you to do as we move into the next, into the week is, what are your 15 minutes of wisdom? That thing you started in the room, that thing that your whole life built up, right? Because they were talking about, we all had different wisdoms. We were all talking about different things. So I invite you to kind of think of what are your 15 minutes of wisdom? And if you could condense your whole life experience that brought you to this moment, that one thing that you feel you're dying to share, what would that look like? So I invite you to think about that. And maybe you'll do your own TED Talk. Maybe you'll figure out what that looks like. But I want to thank you all for your wisdom. And we glean it here and there. And we have those little pieces of wisdom. And I look forward to hearing how all of you put that together to share with the world. Thank you guys for your company. And always thanks, Terry and Yelena, my partners here. And Mike, for your leadership and your wisdom, I'm so appreciative. And thank you for what you invited us all to bring to the table.
So everybody feel free to go off mute and say goodbye for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. So good to see you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a beautiful week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.